Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE. Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
The Lifestyle Show.
Selena McKenzie.
Animal Talk. Presented by Selena McKenzie. Yes, welcome to Animal Talk, the December edition, which means it's our Christmassy version. We have our usual panel, Kay Millington.
Hello.
Nesli van den Kieboom.
Hello.
And someone who very often comes on and we love her and she's all dressed up for Christmas, Inez Robinson.
Hello.
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 We have some non-alcoholic carver here and some Christmas chocolate, so we hope you join in with us. For this show, you can call us on 952-784000. You can WhatsApp 645-996795, or you can email studio@tre.radio to join in the conversation.
Animal Talk.
Presented by
Selena McKenzie.
That's not a difficult one, is it?
That's an easy one. Difficult one.
So it is our Christmas edition and Christmas is, can you believe, in 3 weeks' time. I can't see any of you. I can just see tinsel. Tinsel in the tops of your heads. And we have to be mindful of our pets, our beloved animals, because certain things, you know, might not be good for them. For example, the villa in near us the other day had a massive firework display, and I know they do the grapes on New Year, but they very often have fireworks as well. How to keep the pets calm? That's a good one, isn't it, Kay?
Yeah, that is a good one. As I said on the last show, I was just trialing out some calming drops for my cats, just to see how they are with them for the Christmas and New Year, and they've been really helpful. And also the CBD oil, which was the one for animals, which is not got anything toxic in it, and it's doing really well actually, both of them. And I do think it definitely keeps them calmer, and it's all natural as well. So I think you'd better to try something like that. Also the plugs as well.
Yeah.
They are really helpful. And yep. Nasli, I'm sure you've got some, actually, I saw some on your website that you've just started to promote, which I'm quite interested in, so maybe you can tell
exactly
us about
which
that.
Exactly, which is the Comix, which is in diffuser.
Yeah.
And it actually, then in the environment, gives them a happy, relaxed feeling.
I'm just going to take this away. It looks very pretty, but I can't see. That's
yes.
Oh, that's better.
Hi, Selena.
It's also toxic, but we'll talk about that at a later date.
Is it? Yeah. Is it for animals?
Yes.
That's very interesting. I didn't know that. So, yeah. Presumably, if they start licking it, but not if they're just around it.
No, not when they're around it. But
they mustn't lick it.
Especially if you have young animals in the house, like a kitten or a puppy, or those that just are into everything, as soon as they start chewing on it, that toxic stuff comes out. But also, if those little things of the tinsels come loose and they eat it, it could even give an intestinal obstruction.
Oh my goodness, never thought about that. Like, no tinsel in my house. Are there any foods that are toxic to animals at Christmas, Kate?
Well, there's a lot of things that are not good for animals. It's toxic and also just not very good for them. But I have actually made a little list.
Oh, okay.
Just to remind everyone. So obviously, we all know that chocolate's not good for animals. Eggnog, which actually, I'm showing my age here, but I actually don't know what eggnog is. Is that really
snowball.
Bad?
We used to
I don't know what eggnog is.
It's avocado, yeah.
Okay, lemonade. Eggnog is not very good. Peppermint, gingerbread, which I didn't know that until today. Not that my cat would probably eat gingerbread, but gingerbread. Mashed potato, which it's not toxic, but it's not meant to be good for them. I can imagine because a lot of people put dairy in there and that's not good for them either. Onions is a massive massive no-no. It's really bad for animals, so that is quite toxic. Garlic also. Artificial sweeteners, which we know obviously is not good for animals. Grapes and raisins. Macadamia nuts. Avocado, which is usually the inside of the avocado, and obviously a massive no-no to cooked bones, which I know lots of people still give to their animals.
It's we really never ever do. Yeah.
Nasli will explain to you what happens when you give them. They can like break off inside, can't they, and cause a lot of damage.
Is that what it is once they've been cooked?
Yeah, because when they're raw and they chew on it, or even if they swallow in a piece, it'll be round. But once it's cooked, it breaks off in a sharp edge. And of course, that sharp edge, well, intestines have to move around, not straight.
Yeah.
Yeah, it will then perforate them.
To be honest, we've never, ever given our dogs cooked bones. And if ever we're out with friends and they say, oh, save the bones for the dogs, and we say, no, thank you. But I never really realised why. I just knew it wasn't good for them. Yeah. But now I've learned why it's not good for them.
Yeah, and I think it comes from before, where people just gave their rest food products to the dogs and the cats. Like, here, have something to eat.
Yeah, definitely. Do you cook... You cook chicken and all sorts for your dogs, don't you?
No,
they
eat raw.
Raw? You don't cook anything?
It's too much faff. What? No. This morning there I was with my gloves on, chopping up a chicken.
For the
dogs.
Oh.
Yeah, they love it. And the cat. The cat eats it as well. So, but by choice. I mean, with the cat, she does have dry biscuits. She'll sit in a certain place and look at me and go like... Gonna get that chicken out then,
Come on, Mum.
Off you go. Here's your chicken. Off you go. They should go up and get this.
Well, it's interesting you're saying about nuts, macadamia nuts.
Yeah.
Academia nuts. Very academic, these nuts. But presumably, Nasli, all nuts are not good for dogs and cats.
No, in theory, most nuts are okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but the way we prepare them, if you put peanuts down and they're really salty, I mean, that's really bad for them. Absolutely. And occasionally I've seen a dog with a peanut allergy. So that's possible. Well, but the macadamia nut has an ingredient that is really toxic to them.
Yeah. Mm. I just think they're difficult to chew, and I worry that they get stuck in the throat, but then you wouldn't necessarily give your animal a nut. It'd just be if they picked it up off the floor, wouldn't it?
Exactly.
Really. Mm-hmm. The other thing is excitement over Christmas. They get so excited if you're having a party and all your friends are coming. I mean... God knows how you manage, Inez, because my two are barking like mad if we have friends over. So with yours, I don't know.
Well, just let them loose and sort of, hope people survive.
Well, it's their home, isn't it, at the end of the day?
Yeah, it's their home.
Well, I guess.
You're coming in, they eat raw meat, here you go.
Yeah.
Lunch has arrived.
I'll have a bit of that leg.
Yeah. Do you have any friends left?
Oddly enough, not many. But the excitement side of things, and that's where I think a lot of people get problems, because the animals don't understand it's Christmas.
No.
We're all excited, and they're wondering why their whole routine has changed, why things are different, what's going on. And if you've got a rescue, and especially as of a recent rescue or an anxious or a nervous rescue, they're going to be wondering, am I going to be taken away? Is this person coming to me? They don't understand, because they don't know.
Yeah.
And they don't understand anything. So it's just, this is experience of my own experience when we've taken dogs on, coming up close, and we get all excited and the tree's going up and they're frightened.
They like routine.
They love routine. Yeah. So try and keep it a little bit low key and normal for them as best you can.
Yeah.
And it's a case of just getting them used to it. It's like with all the noises. It's exposure and getting them used to that. Exposure and noise and stuff that helps them in the long term, gives them the tools.
And the other thing that happens, of course, when you have a party or anything, evidently people leave food down or they drop food or whatever, and the animals are just hoovering it
and
up.
Doors open. That's why we don't. Yeah. No one comes in our house ever, not just at Christmas. I'm too paranoid about doors, windows, everything, and they would be quite, I think, upset my animals if there were a lot of people if we had a party or anything, God forbid. I had a cleaner for the first time the other day, because now I'm working full time, obviously, and I had like massive signs on the door, tape across the bedroom door, do not enter, cats are scared. I was at work all day with anxiety, thinking, oh goodness me, because with the vacuum and things like that, they're used to me But obviously, if some stranger comes in the house and starts cleaning, they'll be absolutely beside themselves. So they had the Fellaway plug in our bedroom, calming music, and they were absolutely fine. I was more worried than them, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
And while we're talking about Christmas, Kay, AAA have got a Christmas gift scheme.
Yeah, we're doing like a Christmas gift scheme. So what you can do is, there's several things that you can do, which I think this is lovely. So you get a Christmas card and you can virtually sponsor a pet for a month. And that is €15, and you'll get the card with the picture and everything on. And there's other things as well. You can sponsor a kennel, you can just become a member, a friend of AAA, that's €5 a month, or you can just make a donation. But then obviously you can, people put cards and say, you know, didn't get your present this year, but I've not donated to AAA. So I think it's a brilliant idea, because we've all got things that people buy us and we don't really use them, and I think it's such a lovely present. And if you remember years ago, I always talk about this, but people used to buy me like WWF, like adopt a panda or sponsor a panda on. I think it's lovely to do it for cats and dogs.
I think so.
Yeah, and if you're interested in that, you can have a look on our website, which is AAAMarbella.org.
And I think a lot of people aren't doing Christmas cards anymore.
No.
So many people I've spoke to say, I'm not bothering with Christmas cards. So that bit of money would have spent,
yeah,
you can spend
lovely
on AAA.
Lovely idea.
Yeah, I think so. Howard Brereton. My colleague Howard Brereton messaged me yesterday. He said, I've got a good one for Animal Talk for you. He said, a Spanish girl told him that feeding tuna to your dog can stop it molting. Is it true, Natalie?
It is not true.
Okay.
Period.
nothing more to say on that, then. Thanks, Howard, for your contribution.
No, there's a little bit of truth in there, which would be that the fish oil, like fatty fish oil, salmon oil, tuna oil, they contain a lot of omegas. Yeah, and good fatty acids in there, which are very good for the skin and for the hair. Yeah, so giving
same
that, yes, you do give extra, but it's not going to stop your dog from molting. Yeah.
Don't rush out to buy tins of tuna, will you, so you don't get hair on your furniture, because it's not going to work.
Is there anything that will work?
No, they need to naturally shed their fur.
Or just get a cat with no hair. That'd help.
Yeah, but they're so ugly.
I know.
They're not the prettiest, are they? Bless.
Have you ever touched one?
Yeah, I think they're lovely to touch.
You touch them and it's like it's like sticky, and they've got all these cerumen glands that you can see, like blackheads everywhere.
Oh my god!
And it's just not like cuddle a cat. It's
you're not selling it very well, are you?
No, I'm not.
Not doing these poor cats any favours. It's supposed to be a happy, lovely animal show. I had, we had something from Trudy in San Pedro. She said, is it true? I like it when people say that. Is it true? Is it true that using organic apple cider vinegar mixed with equal parts purified water, colloidal silver or witch hazel can help clean your dog's ears? I think she might have read that somewhere.
The answer is yes.
Yeah.
But whether you want to is a different...
Sounds a bit of a faff. What do you clean your dog's ears with then? What's easier? Just water?
Ear cleaner?
Definitely not water. Because earwax is greasy. Water and grease do not accept each other. So all you're going to do is pour water in a dog's ear. Yeah, which you don't want to do. But the part of the apple cider vinegar, we actually advise people to do that also for dogs that have itchy feet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because they sweat on their feet and then they very easily get some fungus or some reaction or bacterial there, and that is very good. Diluted with water then, but very good to clean feet with.
Now, my Mika's always licking her paws. Should I try that then?
Yes,
is that what
absolutely.
It is? Oh, I should keep that one then over there. That's wonderful. Just before our first break, we have our AAA dog of the week, which is Goaty. Do you know Goaty?
Oh, Goaty's lovely.
Goaty's 1 year old, a beautiful black medium-sized Padenko. She's an absolute darling, enjoying plenty of cuddles and love. She loves to be with humans and also gets on well with dogs. She's very sociable. If you think you can give Goaty a forever home, then go to AAAMarbella.org and put in her reference number 29673. We'll be back after this.
This is TRE.
It's
squirrel.
The lifestyle show.
That's the first time you've done that. Well done.
We normally say it's a cabby that thing.
We love them.
That was
like a giant guinea pig. This is Animal Talk. Just in case you wondered what we were talking about, we're talking animals. It is our December Christmassy edition, and I'm with Kay, Nasli, and Ines. If you want to join in the conversation or ask any questions, here's how to do so.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95.
Got a nice little story for you now, because the Romanian football team have gone right up in my estimation. Apparently, the Romanian Football Federation has decided that shelter dogs will be led to all their matches throughout the year in an effort to boost adoptions and also increase the sensitivity of more people to love and respect animals. And there's a picture of... Oh, can't get it down now. There's a picture of all the footballers going on the pitch with the dogs, and they're doing it for every match, which I think is wonderful.
Oh, that is fantastic. Really,
what a good idea.
Very needed over there.
Yes. We have had a WhatsApp from Denise in Fuengirola. She said, what is heartworm in cats, and how do I know if my cat has got it?
Nasli, over to you.
Okay. Heartworm in cats is pretty rare, I would say. Lungworm in cats is much more common. And lungworms, they get through eating snails and slugs. Heartworm, you get... Or, well, we don't, I hope. Dogs and cats get by being bitten by a mosquito that carries the elements of the worm, so the larvae of the worm, in the body, and then with the blood that they suck and then put back out, the infection goes into the body. Those microfilaria, they grow in about half a year to adult ones, and then they start laying eggs. Those adult ones are so big that you can imagine that if you have a worm in your arteries or in your veins, at some point it's going to get stuck somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so literally in the heart, because of the valves going up and down, they get stuck there. One of the first symptoms would be coughing. And respiratory signs, and then there is a test to do in which you see if it's positive or negative. Prevention is regular deworming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with an ingredient that also does lungworms and heartworms.
Yeah. I'm hoping, Denise in Fuengirola, that your cat hasn't got it. I don't know what the symptoms are or why she's asking, but do let us know. And I guess if she's unsure, take the animal to the vet.
Yeah,
always best. James in Mallorca said, an informative programme, thank you very much. I'd like to know why my 18-month-old puppy is going grey already. Is this normal? I'm guessing if it's black, then they normally do go grey early, don't they?
They can also have, like, hair, which looks grey, but it's just got no pigment in. So, like, it's almost, like, translucent.
Oh,
some
right.
dogs, you know, like, people as well, like babies as well.
You can have, like, a dilution genetic factor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that black hair very easily loses its colour.
Yeah. I wonder if it's a breed, a type.
Yeah.
Don't know about that one. I know my little black dog, she's 3 now, but she started to go grey after probably about 2 years.
Some do, though, don't they?
Yeah.
I have seen some dogs that go grey early, a bit like humans. Some do, and some keep their pigment all the way through. And
some dye their hair.
And some, they go down, get down to the doggy hairdressers and they, you know, get...
Indeed. This is an interesting one. Fabio in Sotto Grande. My cat loves tuna, but I read that too much is dangerous. Is this true? Well, that's funny, after what we've just been talking about. Too much tuna is dangerous?
Well, my cats don't like tuna, but what do you think?
Mine
really don't like tuna. They turn their nose up to it,
I don't
think it's bad for you as such. Everything in
little bits.
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay.
In moderation. That's how we say. But by feeding your cat only tuna,
that
would be only a protein source with high fat in it. No, it's not healthy at all.
No, interesting.
But
don't
one thing that I would like to say, which is quite interesting, and I don't know how we started talking about it the other day, but it's not a natural food for a cat in the wild. Can you imagine a cat actually catching a fish?
I have seen a cat, have you? Catch a fish.
Really?
Yes.
What, a goldfish?
We had goldfish
at home, yeah.
In the pond.
Like it's not going to go
and
outside.
And it was sitting there and it went, what? But it didn't eat it though.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, tuna, they, because you've got to go out into the sea. Yeah, I can't see a cat.
They're quite big, the tunas. They're probably about half the size of the studio. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
But with tuna, you've got the heavy metals.
Yes. Mercury, it's got mercury.
Yes, exactly. So unless it's like well-filtered, etc., then possibly.
I think, even for pregnant women, they advise not to have
too much. Figures. Yeah. It's interesting, actually, Kay, that there are things like that. We automatically think fish with a cat. And when we were growing up, we used to think give a cat a saucer of milk. And you must actually not know
exactly.
That.
No.
I wonder why all these things...
Where it came from.
I suppose.
Because I think on the farms, they did have cats and dogs. People in houses didn't. Yeah. You have a cow, there is milk, there's something to eat, just lap the milk.
It'll eat a little bit, which is fine, but in the house, you give a whole dish of it and no water, it's going to drink the milk.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. It's funny how animals don't automatically know, like they don't automatically know what's bad for them and what's not, you know what I mean? You'd think if it was something that was bad they wouldn't drink it. I'm not making sense, am I?
Well, no, but milk in general,
humans,
I mean,
and alcohol,
it's not good for us,
like,
either,
you know, we know,
very
right?
True.
Oh, we
very
carry
true.
On
yeah, yeah. That's very true, you know, it's bad for you, but you're still
and we
drinking.
Humans and we know no.
Yeah. Okay, final one. Hope that helped, Fabia. Final one. Chris in Altea. We have tried everything to get our pug's weight down, but nothing is working. Any advice, please? Great show, as always. Pugs. Little pugs.
Everything is intake and usage. I mean, what goes in your mouth...
Same for all of us.
They can restrict the food. They can change food to light food. They can change to raw food.
Exercise.
Yeah. But what exercise exactly? What you have to do is make sure that the energy intake is so much less than the dog needs. Otherwise, it's never going to burn any fat.
Yeah.
I certainly look at how much they're eating, because I was very guilty of that when we had our first retriever. I was like shoveling it in, and this will make you laugh, Natalie. So one, it was about a year or so later, and he stopped. He just wouldn't eat his food. So it's like 2 or 3 days, he wouldn't eat his food, got really worried, rushing down to the vet, obviously seriously ill. And she looked and she poked and she prodded and she went, your dog's fat. Doesn't want to eat anymore. And this is a golden retriever. And I just went bright red. And she gave me a little pot. She said, you know, 400 grams, no more, 2 in the morning, 2 in the afternoon, and more exercise, which we did. But it wasn't a good quality kibble. I've been through the whole thing. But it was when we took our second dog in from AAA, and she had so many problems that I started really looking at dog nutrition. And it was when I started to switch to raw, and the difference was phenomenal. And Charlie lost weight, and Elsa gained everything that she needed to. And it was that started me onto the nutrition side of things with dogs.
Mm-hmm. So, what would you typically feed the dogs then? Would they have 2 meals a day of raw?
Yeah, they get 2 meals a day. They're weighed. I weigh it because I'm a real overfeeder, so I make sure they're weighed. And I don't really go by weight because raw fed dogs are more solid, so they're heavier. But I make sure that they have a waist and they have a tuck, and the condition is good. And then some of them you need to sort of just about feel the ribs, like the Malinois, you need to really just feel it. With the Mastin, no chance.
Nope. Skin,
give me that. Yes, it's a good wobble, but as long as they're able to exit, you know, they're exercised a lot and stuff like that. So I don't really go by weight. A bit like me, really. I don't go by weight. I go by the weight of the chocolate. That's the weight. That's the weight of the chocolate. A couple of kilos, that's good. That's good stuff. But... So I would honestly would look at the food side, but pugs are quite chunky dogs anyway.
They are chunky dogs, and I suppose they're meant to be chunky dogs, aren't they? They're not supposed to be thin dogs.
They're very robust, aren't they?
Yeah.
Even once in a while I do see a thin one.
Really?
But that is very often because they struggle so much with breathing and they're continuously losing their abdominal muscles to get air in and out, that's what makes them look really, really skinny. It costs too much energy. Mm. And even then, they still look round.
Yeah. Still rotund.
You just have a round dog.
Yeah, exactly. We have our horse of the month now from Arch. So, Fabulous Fabiola arrived at Arch in February 2022. It's heartbreaking, this is. I couldn't read all this. I've cut it down. She was tied up, abandoned in the campo, horrendously in horrendously cold and wet conditions.
blah, blah, blah. I won't tell you how she was. But she's a fabulous old lady. She's over 30 and she will not give up living. Against the odds, Fabiola has been thriving at Arch and at TLC and veterinary care. It's become apparent that she was not going to give up, and as the months went on, she put on weight, and you can see her in her prime by going to the Arch Rescue Centre on Sundays, which is open to the public from 10 until 2, or you can see her by going to all the W's, horserescuespain.org. What a fantastic job they do
Brilliant job.
Brilliant, brilliant job. Right, we need to take our second advert break, but we will be back on the other side.
TRE, your voice in Spain.
The Lifestyle Show.
The Wheel
Penguin.
Presented by Selena McKenzie.
It's the other one. Capybara.
Oh, again. Still never going to guess that one.
Every time. They all sound quite similar.
They do.
Okie dokie, so Christmas is coming. Do you get your babies a Christmas present, Kay?
Yes, mine do get Christmas presents. I have, normally. I've got a lovely lady that knits them Christmas jumpers. Don't shoot me down. They only wear them for the family Christmas photo every year. And she usually does me a matching jumper, and then they all have one. But they're used to it, and literally, they're not trying to fight it off. They know what I'm like. And we have a photo with them all. So they get the Christmas jumpers, and then they all get like a goodie bag with treats and stuff like that. Aww. So yeah, they do. And I wrap it up and everything for them.
Oh, bless you. I do as well.
Like, they are my children, yeah. You know, to me, they're our family. So yeah.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No.
Nazlin?
Well, I did once buy them a bone and wrapped it and put it under the Christmas tree.
Oh, that's nice of you, bar humbug.
But it was nice, wasn't it? It was gone the next day, and it wasn't Christmas. So I don't do that anymore. And I do have a sweater thing for them also.
How in the heck do you afford to buy all yours?
All of mine. Well, it's the only time they get anything. But when you've got seven dogs, you can't really give them presents because it could, you know, cause a fight. Mm-hmm. I do remember one year I'm going to get them a steak each. So I've murdered on a steak. God. And I'm like, I have got you a steak. Honestly, it was like, wasn't even a second that it took them to eat. It was so disappointing. It went so fast. It was like, as soon as I got one, dum, 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 that was it gone.
Did you say steak?
Steak.
I thought you said snake.
No, I'm not that cruel.
No, a steak.
But they have had toys. Sometimes I'll wrap up sort of presents because it's also good enrichment for them.
Exactly. So, it's like good mental. Toilet. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So a few like special treats in a toilet roll holder wrapped up and then watched, because my lot will go into different parts of the garden and things and rip open their thing, whatever it is, or eat their chew. They're all used to it now. But if you have dogs that are going to take each other's hands off, you know, I just wouldn't.
Yeah, no, yeah, be careful.
Just give it to them, you know, one piece at a time.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Oh, that's nice. I've started today just putting Gracie in a jumper because she shivers the whole time. She's like a chihuahua. She's not a chihuahua, but she's like a chihuahua. When it gets cold, she's just shaking and I can't stand it. It bothers me, so I put her a little jumper on and she's more than happy and warm in a jumper.
Yeah, when they're happy in it, why not? Yeah. Exactly.
Stops her shaking.
Well, a lot of galgos and sighthounds wear them, don't they? They have coats and things to keep them warm. So,
It's not easy for those dogs to find a coat to put on because they've got such deep chests. Yeah, that if you just buy a standard one, it doesn't fit.
I always see them in El Corte Inglés looking around. They're looking in the shelves and trying to find jumpers to fit.
Yeah.
It's a niche in the market.
Don't like this one. I'll wait for the sales.
Wait for the sales, exactly.
I'm a galgo size XL, please.
With a small waist.
But what did you say? A deep throat? Deep chest. Did you say deep chest?
She's a deep chest. Yeah, they have a deep chest. A deep chest.
This is definitely non-alcoholic.
I think it's a 00 champagne here. It's a chocolate. It's too much chocolate.
Are you sure you're not put something in this
zero
alcohol champagne?
Yeah, this low alcohol. Yeah, anyway. Right. Okay. Moving swiftly on. I'm going to ask you some. Is this true? Is it true, Nazli, that dogs have three eyelids?
True.
Why?
because I said so, and I'm the vet. No, no, it's a hunting asset.
Oh,
yep. So they have a top eyelid, they have a bottom eyelid, and in the center corner, yeah, so close to the nose, they have another extra eyelid. Now they can stare at a prey, yeah, and then blink with that third eyelid.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I'm going to watch.
Cats have a third eye as well, don't they? Cats. They have the, well, we call it the third eye. The,
yeah.
It comes up as well.
Yeah. Is it true, Kay, that a cat can jump up to 7 times its height?
I would probably say so, yes. Actually, depends on very the cat, high. But yeah. And if you look at, like, lions and tigers as well, and jaguars and things like that, they're very, very robust, aren't they? And they can jump very high. But I've seen my cats jump pretty high as well. So I would say that, yes, that's true.
Mm, can jump high, and they can jump low as well, can't they? And still land on their feet.
Yeah.
And you never get this one. Is it true, Inez, that 3 dogs survived the Titanic?
No.
It is, apparently. Is it? No apparently way. So, yeah. Really? I don't know any more than that. It just is facts, animal facts. 3 dogs survived the Titanic. Go. There you go. Good.
There we go.
I'm glad they did.
Wow.
Gosh. Right. Somebody has asked Kay, the last 2 digits, 74. I don't know who you are. How, I think we might have had this before. How do you introduce your cat to the new baby in the house?
Human baby or cat baby?
I'm guessing human, but I don't know.
Okay, well, it's funny because I actually put a video on last week on Facebook of my cats meeting a baby for the first time, and a friend's baby. Obviously, you have to be very, very cautious because you don't know what they're going to do. But I think the smell of babies as well, because they drink, obviously, milk. And I know it's not cat milk, but I think cats can be very attracted to it, because I noticed when my cats met a baby, there was smelling a lot around the face, around a bib and stuff like that. Obviously, you have to be very cautious always with introducing an animal to anyone, really. But with babies, extra cautious. I'd never leave them alone, ever, until, you know, they get to know each other. And also, you have to be careful with, if it's your baby and not someone else's, like a visitor, you can buy things also to put over the cot so they don't get in, because I've got a lot of friends who have got cats and they try to get inside with the babies. I mean, they don't do anything, but they try to snuggle up to them. But everything's the same with animals, with people. Always very, very slow introductions, and giving, obviously, the cat a lot of attention as well as the baby, because they can get jealous, and they do get jealous. And what you don't want is them to, you know, give them a little slap or something. You don't want the cat to give them a with the swipe. Claws. But I mean, also to, you know, trim your cat's claws as well. If you have got a new baby coming to the house, joking aside, really, it would be a good thing to trim the cat's claws as well. And always don't leave them unattended, and a very gradual thing.
Yeah, I agree. It's the same with dogs, isn't it?
No matter how much you
trust them, it's their animals.
And it's the same introducing animals to animals. It's all, you know, the same. You just have to do it very, very slowly and be very, very patient.
Yeah, absolutely.
And gently. Yeah. Also, with for people that are getting a baby and have cats, to not allow the cat to sleep in a crib.
No.
Because wherever a cat lies, there will be hair.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And you don't want the baby to breathe that in, really, so.
No. It's like not having dogs on the bed. I'd never do that.
Yeah, me neither.
You don't have all 7 on the bed, do you?
Must be a big bed.
One can't get up because she's old.
Oh, so you have 6 and Pat.
Basically, yeah. And they're all on my side. They know where I go, so they're all around me, and he has half the bed.
Oh. Well, we love our dogs, don't we? Love our dogs. Chris in Altea says, you were talking about calming your animals. Apparently, chamomile and lavender can work. I don't know whether that means you can't give them chamomile and lavender, can you?
No, but you could do the aroma.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like what Isabel told us.
Just
the aroma of the lavender.
No skin contact, obviously, but in the air.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'm going to take another advert break, and then we've just got about 10 minutes left to the end, so please don't go away. TRE.
Talk Radio Europe.
The Lifestyle Show.
Lovely when we get them right. Well done.
I must write these down for next time. Just go, penguin, thingy what's it?
They all sound nearly the same,
yeah,
though, don't
the
they?
I'll just have a little one, she says, of this non-alcoholic carver. Right, now it is Christmas, and of course it's the same old adage. We've been hearing it for years, but it's still very true. Never buy a pet for Christmas. And people still do it. I mean,
yeah,
it's crazy.
Unbelievable.
And awful, because it's great at the time, you know, it's all exciting, but then you have to look after the pet in the new
yeah.
year.
When you're looking at, well, it depends on if it's a cat or a dog, but at least 10 to 15 years commitment.
Or more.
So, you know, 20 years, if a cat, some cats live 22, 23 years old. People, they do it, but then you end up getting, you know, the shelters are full, not just here, all over the world. They'll buy a kitten or a puppy for someone for Christmas for a child, and then they get fed up by February, March, April, or even before then, they're in the shelter. So it's not a good idea, and I would like to think we definitely don't let people adopt animals for Christmas presents, but I'm sure that not a lot of the other charities or any would actually do that. As soon as they mention that word, present, then I think everyone, you know, it's alarms, bells ringing.
Yeah, it has to be a choice that you make, that you plan for, that fits in your life. Yeah, not some kind of spontaneous decision.
Yeah.
And but if you have thought about it carefully and the idea is to get a pet, then just buy already a bed or a toy and put that under the Christmas tree. Let the kid open that, saying, we will get a cat or a dog. Mm. After Christmas.
Yeah. Or you can virtually adopt one.
Yes,
virtually
better.
Adopt one for your children.
Adopt one from
and
children.
Then if they behave themselves all year, then maybe you might let them adopt one, you know, if they're responsible enough eventually. But it's a
exactly.
really nice idea to make them, you know, have a bit of responsibility. They could even pay with it with their own pocket money and
get them used to it.
It's also a great idea.
Yeah. And also you are right, Natalie, because people are going out, aren't they, at Christmas? So you imagine getting a new puppy or a new kitten and everyone's out at Christmas parties and it's just left in the house. You can't do that.
No, it's not a good idea.
Also the puppy farms, because they're all, you know, pumping the dogs out and pumping the puppies out ready for Christmas as well. So it would be nice if people didn't buy it at that time. It would completely stop that time of the year.
Are they really doing that? And people are still doing it?
Because people want puppies for Christmas, so they pump them and get them ready.
Good.
So after, in the new year is when you're going to start seeing a whole load, not just from people who don't want them anymore, but the ones that didn't get sold.
Oh, it's awful.
It's terrible.
Well, they do say, don't they, a dog and a cat, but a dog's for life, not just
for
Christmas.
And don't pay for a dog anyway. Always get one, not at Christmas, but in the new year. Get one from a rescue centre for sure. Or a cat.
Yes.
And, of course, the rescue centres all need volunteers to help at this time of the year.
Yes, I mean, especially this time of year because, you know, I'm working all over Christmas because when you work in the medical field and with animals and things like that or with people, it's just a normal day, isn't it? But what would be really nice if anyone would like to come and volunteer over Christmas, it'd give us a helping hand because, you know, you do sometimes have people off and some people on holidays. So that would be really nice if anyone would like to volunteer. We would really, really appreciate it with the dogs and especially with the cats as well. It's really nice because a lot of people, you know, they come and walk the dogs, but now they've started to sort of pop down and give the cats a cuddle and stuff. And I've managed to sort of convert a few people into cat people as well. So that's very nice.
Good.
If anyone be interested in that, that would be lovely. We'd love some new volunteers, especially around the festive period.
What happens Christmas Day? Do you have a certain amount of staff that go in Christmas Day?
I think basically if that's the day that you work anyway, unless you booked it off a long time ago, we just come in and work as normal. So I'm just going to make the most of it. I think, you know, get my Christmas jumper on and my cat ears. I mean, they still all
then,
need the same care.
Exactly,
you know?
And you can burn some calories.
Of course.
I think it's a great idea to be able to volunteer for dog walking, for example, because a lot of people love dogs, but can't have them for whatever reason. But you get your doggy fixed by taking the dogs for a walk.
It's a brilliant idea. And same with, you know, with cats as well. You can't have a cat at home. Or you want to get used to having a cat, you can come and see us as much as you want. You know, if you book an appointment, you can come and spend all day cuddling cats, and then eventually, if you'd like to adopt one, then great. But if not, you can still come and you're always welcome.
Yeah, yeah. Do people just get in touch on the website if they want to volunteer?
Yeah, the best thing to do would be to just go through the normal website, and then they will put you directly in contact with the person, like with me for the cat house, for example, or the person that organises the dog walking.
Fantastic, fantastic. Right, I've got one more question for you. Anybody can answer this one. A pack of kittens is called a kindle, is that true?
Oh.
Right, I should know this answer.
Yeah,
however,
We're all looking at you.
Sorry about that. I actually don't know the answer. I don't know if it's a trick question.
And it says, well, a pack of adult cats is called a clowder.
Oh, this is too English for me.
I'll tell you on the next one.
Yeah, I've got two massive question marks on that. A Kindle, I thought that was a book. Excellent. Right, I am just going to remind everyone that it is Christmas Eve falls on a Sunday this year, which means I'm working and I can't wait, and I hope you join me. This year, the 24th of December falls on a Sunday. So on Christmas Eve, we'll be doing a very special Your Sunday selection. We're calling it Christmas Cards from Around the World, where you can send a virtual Christmas message over the airwaves.
I love you, darling. Happy Christmas.
We are giving you plenty of time, as it will be for sure a busy show. So simply email Selena at tre.radio, and your message and accompanying song to your loved one will be played out on Christmas Eve.
I hope you and your family have a wonderful and very Merry Christmas.
Christmas Cards from Around the World on Your Sunday Selection, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Christmas Eve on TRE. Yes, really looking forward to that on Christmas Eve. Hope you join me. Just to let you know before I say a final chat to the ladies that on tomorrow's show I'll be chatting to Tony Mount at 2:25. We'll be talking about how to survive in Tudor England. Imagine you were transported back in time to Tudor England and had to start a new life without smartphones, internet or social media. Well, that's exactly what Tony's done. She said, how to keep your head while everyone around you is losing theirs. Then it is Culinary Corner. We'll be making gingerbread with Reshmi Bennett from Agnes de Suca. That's at 3:10. And at 3:30, Richard Fitzwilliams will be joining us, as he always does at this time of the year, to tell us all about the Christmas lights in London. So, Kay, remind us how people can get in touch with you.
So you can get in touch with me at, well, actually, my email address has been blocked at the moment. I don't know.
Oh,
someone
no.
tried to hack it.
No.
And I've been trying to get in for 2 weeks, and they're asking me all these daft questions. So the best thing, and I can't remember anything.
Mother's maiden name.
I can't remember my own name sometimes, never mind what the last three people I emailed. So the best thing to do would be to, you can just go on AAAMarbella.org, and they will direct you onto me. And also Rescued Paws Spain.
Excellent.
As well on Facebook.
Excellent. And AAA is AAAMarbella.org.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Cool. Leslie.
Yes, you can call. I was somewhere else. I was in this cat house for a minute. You can call us on 952-804165. Find us on Facebook or on the website pointerclinic.com. We even have Instagram nowadays.
Do you?
Yes.
You're very down with the kids. Have you got X?
No.
No.
TikTok, are you a
TikToker? No, TikToker. Are you a TikToker?
No, people keep saying you really ought to do TikTok.
You should.
Oh,
you should put Ickle Pickle on TikTok.
Can you imagine?
If people want to get in touch with you for whatever reason, can they do so?
They can, but not on TikTok. I have a website, InezRobinson.com. Everything I do is on there. I have Facebook, InezRobinson13 on Facebook, and InezRobinson13@gmail.com is my email that I can get into.
Unlike Kay. <Yeah. laughs> Listen, ladies, it's been a blast as always. Thank you for the whole year of being with me. I love this programme. We'll start afresh in the new year, first Tuesday. But for now, thank you very much.
And thank you for having us. Thank you.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE. Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Andy and Anna here from your new favourite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.